Thank you, Patrick, for the good word today. And going through the Psalms is a true blessing. Remember, the Psalms are the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament, and also the most quoted Old Testament book by Jesus in the Gospels. So if somebody asks you, what's your favorite book in the Old Testament? And you said, Psalms, the Lord would say, hey, that was mine too, when he was in his earthly ministry in terms of what he said and what he taught and so forth. But of course, all God's word is really good. And 14, 15, and 16, we were driving down Route 30 as a family about 2 weeks ago and saw a car with a bumper sticker on it. And the bumper sticker, which I had never seen before, this one, it said, in the beginning, man created God. In the beginning, man created God. And I thought, oh, wow. I wanted to go over and cut that person off, real quick, be a Christian smart aleck on it, on them, But again, we're the sheep. We're not the wolves. Okay, so we have to calm down about that. And wanted to think, oh, what conversation would I have with a person who had that bumper sticker, I might say, oh, that's a great car you have there. Where'd you get that car, Did it come out of thin air, or was there like a creation of the thing? A Ford Motor Company. Oh, okay. So you as a man didn't make it. Ford Motor Company kind of created it. But even in that, the metal that's in that car, man didn't make that metal. It came out of the ground. The plastic in that car, it's not from chemicals that man made. All those molecules of chemicals that make a plastic came from out of the ground too. So man didn't make, he didn't make those chemicals. He didn't make that metal. He makes alloys. That's just mixing what is already there. So God made the metal. And God, he's the originator of that plastic. In fact, the Bible tells us that God created everything. Everything that there is. So he actually made that car that you're driving in with that bumper sticker that is there. And, man didn't create anything. Man didn't create anything. And God created everything. In fact, that your car is not the result of, 10 million years of 10 million tornadoes going through 10 million junkyards and coming up with a nice Ford that you have there. Had to be a plan. Had to be a creator. And so maybe some things could be shared there. And yet, hey, You're fearfully and wonderfully made, driver, with the bumper sticker. You're more greatly made than even your car, because God's a great creator. And so the human heart has a tendency to push God aside and think, well, maybe we'll make you. And Psalm 14 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so we don't want to have that tendency in our soul. Either say, we'll create God, there is no God, or the tendency that we could have as believers, we'll make God like we think he should be. That would be real, real bad also. Either absent, he's absent, or something that we would assume he's like. But the fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's the message God gives us. And then in the middle of Psalm 14, there's a list of things that the human nature is like. And actually, Paul quotes this Psalm 14 in Romans chapter 3. And he starts off with the question, are we any better? Are we any better? Okay, and the list goes down in Psalm 14. That human nature is corrupt. It's vile. No one does good, no, not one. None seek God. I don't know about your relationship with God, but it seems like ever since receiving Christ and every day since then, God always seems to be seeking my attention before I seek his attention. I mean, he's the one that wakes me up. He's the one that gives me new life with his son. He's the one who gave me a Bible, through the people. He's the one that surrounded me with Christians. I mean, he's taking all kind of initiatives and before I sought him. And so Paul said, you know, we have that human nature that it's going to be against God, but God can rescue us with all that. So Psalm 14, some of it's about the atheist, but some of it's about our nature that we need saved from, that God would give us His Spirit and His nature to be a new person, a brand new person. And the additional sin pattern is verse 4 of Psalm 14. Besides not seeking God, it says, they devour my people as men eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. So how might else I sin against God? I would devour God's people like a hungry guy eating bread. And this would be if I would attack Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, seek to, you know, put them down in some manner. That would be against the Lord Himself, since they're His children. And so don't devour God's people as men eat bread. It's a sign of a soul against God. And it says, and do not call upon the Lord when we neglect prayer. You know, there's several ways to show hatred and this abuse towards somebody. Even like in family life, they say abuse could be direct, but abuse could be neglect. If you have, you know, loved ones and you don't talk to them and you don't love them and you don't, you know, you never communicate, that's what you call neglect. And often when we don't pray, we neglect our greatest loved one. We neglect God. And so God would invite us to seek the Lord, since He has sought us. And again, the Lord can save us from that. What does He do? Verse 5, the Lord is in the company of the righteous. So He comes to help. He comes to the rescue. And who are the righteous in the Bible? It is those who God has shared His goodness with, or His salvation with, His righteousness. The righteous one is Jesus. So if you put your trust in Him, you and I, we become the company of the righteous. Wow. You start a company, you know, company of the righteous. Who? What is that? Oh, God is working with the people. The Lord is present in the company of the righteous. We're so thankful. That's a high motivation to gather with God's people for worship, togetherness, and serving side by side. Serving is a great sign of having God's love in your heart. Again, Jesus said, the greatest among you is the one who serves. Okay, the one who serves. And the greatest among us is the one who's like a child. Okay, so if you want to know some Christian virtues, you check out anybody 11 and under. You know, you look for those virtues in there. And the 12s and so on, they grow too. But the Lord's in the company of the righteous. So this is a motive to gather. And it was said about D.L. Lawrence, an author, that he made fantastic observations of the obvious. Okay, so here's one. Okay, fantastic observation of the obvious. I go to church to worship God. Number one motivation. I worship, to honor Him. I go to give Him thanks, praise, surrender, bow down, and so forth. Not primarily for the sermons, okay? If you go for the sermons, you may miss the Lord. Take it from me. Many a sermon I preached, I missed the Lord myself. But you go to worship God, sermon under that. Not for the music. Sometimes you'll be praising the Lord with the music. Sometimes you'll be, you know, scrambling for your hymn book that's not there yet and so forth. So not for the music, not for the Bible knowledge. Bible knowledge is good. Can lead you to the Lord, but the Lord has to be first. Otherwise, the knowledge doesn't change heart or behavior. You become a Bible doer when you worship God first, Bible doer. And then not for the atmosphere or the tone. And so all those things are a blessing, but you keep, those are the cart, and the Lord is the first. Right, so if you go to church to worship God, you will find blessing in all those other experiences. People, I should have put people up there. Most people go to church for God and for people. Those are very biblical reasons. But you want to keep God first. Because if you do, you'll say, you know, I love the Word, I love the music, I love the Bible's knowledge, I love the togetherness. But if you put the other ones first, you'll be up and down like a yo-yo. Okay, yo-yo Christian. Is that a rap song? Somebody said yo-yo. No, that's not. But anyway, you want to go to... Why? Because, don't forget why, the Lord is in the company of the righteous. How good it is to meet with Him and His people. And so, over to Psalm 15, who may dwell with God and live with Him, and we take this test in God's presence. What's the test? He makes the test, and He's the test grader. And He says, the ones who can dwell with God are the ones whose walk is blameless. Okay, so you'd be ready to sign up for that one. Does what is right, speaks truth from the heart, does no wrong to his neighbor, always loves his neighbor as himself, and casts no slur on his fellow man. Okay, and he does despise the vile man, but he honors anybody who fears the Lord. So those are great qualities. And when we look at that list, you know what we find? We find, oh my, somebody's going to have to give us the ability to do that, because I think we would all say, I can't even have good fellowship with God based on my own behavior. See? But somebody can live like this. And you know who it is? Jesus is like this. He's blameless. His walk is blameless. He always does what is right. He speaks truth from the heart. He doesn't neglect the needs that are around him. So these qualities that David recognized, oh, I need these to even be close to God. They're not qualities to be achieved by us, by you and I, but they are given by God to the soul who trusts in Him. Isn't it great that God can make you like a person? He walks, because Jesus is this way. He could walk in a blameless manner. Just learn to speak truth from the heart. Why? Because the King is in residence there. So you got the flag flying high from the castle of your heart. Of course, it didn't make our top 100 recently. But qualities that God can give in the test that He gives, that He wants to give us that A, because Jesus got the A of the Psalm 15. And so then to Psalm 16, wonderful psalm quoted in the New Testament. The big themes of Psalm 16, God won't abandon your soul, so there's some safety there. There's some refuge from the Lord. And then we have God is your good and your portion. A portion is like the sum total of your inheritance. You know, what's your portion in life? What really makes you feel like, okay, now I have all I need. And it's God. Only God can make you say or feel, I have all I need. I have God. And then God is your ever-present fullness of joy. Okay, that's something, again, He gives us as a gift, the fruit of His Spirit. Let's look at these just a little bit, one at a time. Verse 1, keep me safe, for I take refuge in you. Then verse 2, I said to the Lord, you're my Lord, I have no good apart from you. So all our goodness comes from God. Remember, Jesus said, apart from me you can do nothing. That's an echo of this verse 2. And then verse 3, again, there's a focus on, oh, how good it is to be with God's people. As for the saints in the land, they are the glorious one in whom is all my delight. Whew. That's a real high view of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And pray for that in your soul. You know, I delight in God's people, loved by Him. And then verse 4 is a warning. The sorrows of those who will increase, who run after other gods. There's so many counterfeit gods today, but primarily their self. There's a quest for power or controlling our own lives. There is stuff or money. That's a big deal. And then there's one more, life on our own, you might say, independence. And so... if you run after those things, your sorrow will increase. And verse 5 brings it up that the Lord becomes our blessing, our cup or our portion. He makes our lot secure. And what would you say would be a way to know this in the long run, that your body would not see decay, okay, or corruption? And that's a promise of resurrection from the dead. This passage was quoted by Paul in Acts chapter 13 when he was preaching in Antioch, and he was saying Jesus saw no corruption. He rose physically from the dead. So you and I, we have that promise from the Lord. We have an assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And so because we have a resurrection from the dead, someday, this will occur. The blind will see. Okay, the blind will see. And someday, the deaf will hear. And someday, the lame will walk. And those who are weighed down by the presence of sin won't be in sin's presence anymore. It's all because of the resurrection of Jesus. He gives us a life forever with Him. And occasionally, sometimes, because God's gracious, He gives us those gifts along the way. But not completely, since none of us have finished the race yet. You know, we have for Wes Hughes, for Paul McDonald, for them. Okay, there's no hindrance of blindness, disability, you know, sin problem. They have crossed the finish line. You and I, we continue to need God's strength and blessing every day. So the Lord doesn't allow Jesus to experience corruption, and we'll get a new body and a life forever with God when our life is done. And in the meantime, there'll be trials. As my custodian friend always said, one thing about being a Christian, first 100 years, always the toughest. After that, you got it made. Okay? That's the promise of the resurrection. And until then, my heart will go on singing. Okay? We're going to have to persevere. And then the last part here, the Lord is our portion. He's the one who gives us rest and joy in our soul. There are actually one more after this. And so, completion of knowing he's the one who satisfies us. Charles Spurgeon said this: it's not easy to satisfy our desires, because when we think we are satisfied, we soon have the feeling we need a need for something else. I get the new car, I start thinking right away, I wonder what car I'll get after this. You know, I had the wonderful 2 cheeseburgers and a French fry and a pop from the Burger King, and I'm thinking, I hope they lower the price even more. So, you know, so as soon as I'm satisfied, I'm going to be thinking, oh, how about more of whatever? But only God can give that joy, satisfaction in Him. And the blessings of life, you know, they don't go away when we look to the Lord as our satisfaction. They become brighter. Okay, I know. When I received Christ, all of a sudden I liked things like snow. You know, never liked snow before, except to throw it at people. But all of a sudden it was from God. Okay. Never cared much for, believe it or not, this is horrible for a pastor to admit, never cared much for people. So God had a sense of humor. He said, well, I'm going to make you a pastor then. Never cared much for people. And but after meeting Christ, it's like, ooh, people. You can't get anything better than people. They're the highest of God's creation. So what God can do, that's under His. He's our portion. He's what we look for. All we could ever wish is found in the Lord. So we say, earth has nothing I desire besides You. You know, try that in your soul. You know, when you're troubled and things that are precious are really rocking, you know, family, health, livelihood, whatever you want to call it, and you say, all those things are, they can't be the foundation of my life. They're blessings. But you look at Christ and you say, oh, He's my rock. And then in closing, There's the joy of God mentioned. My heart is glad, my tongue rejoices. There's joy in God's presence and eternal pleasure. I like that. Eternal pleasure. That's what they try to pass on at the Chick-fil-A, don't they? When they're talking to you, you go up and can I have the chicken sandwich? My pleasure. You know, how about a napkin? My pleasure. Here's a napkin. How about a straw? My pleasure to get you the straw. After a while, you're like, oh, man. My. You're a person full of pleasure, aren't you? Good training by Christian people, probably. But to have pleasure means to delight. It's my delight to give you this. God delights in you. We delight back in God. Okay. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. You say, ah. And He gives you desires of your heart. Life looks a lot different. And so God offers Himself to us in His Word. And we ask that He build those qualities into our life. And we thank Him for His faithfulness. When we come to His table, we'll pray for people who have special extra needs. Especially I wanted to mention recent diagnosis of cancer. Ken Sherman, for the Lord to give him good treatments and remission there. Mrs. Davis, at Kim Pellis's mom, pretty severe cancer, stage 4 in various areas, that she needs help with. Mike Oriel. Mike needs strength every day. And other folks. Vicki Brewer fighting severe Meniere illness where balance is a problem and dizziness. Some of you guys know about that. Okay. Well, let's pray together and know God's help. Lord, we come to Your table. In Your presence, there's joy forever, eternal pleasures by just being with You. We're delighted to walk with You, gather with You. Ask Jesus that You help people in trouble, that they could take heart because You give them peace and You've overcome difficulties for them. So these battles, You're winning for them. We pray for remission of cancer for Mrs. Davis, for Ken Sherman. We'll give good news as the doctors tackle that for Ken. Pray for Mark Lazaro, the same remission of cancer. Good news for Carolyn Azevedo. We pray, Lord, for guys getting knee replacement this week. You'd help them. We pray for Sharon Kohler, good breathing. Vicki Brewer, just to be able to hear well. Pray for our young people. Thank You for them from the nursery to the youth group and all the ones in between. Father, bless their real good walk that You're producing through Your love, Your teaching, adults who love them. And Father, be with our nation to know Your care. Help us have a seeking first You and Your righteousness because You've sought us. So please have mercy on us. Hear our silent prayers as we put before You our needs, and particularly missionaries Rachel Wilson, David and Vandy Kindervader, as they serve You in different lands. Hear our silent prayers.